This week's Throw It Away is sponsored by family Lawrence Davison of Edgeway K. We thank him for all his help. Lamed Cheshvan, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Sunday the 3rd of November, Rabbi Yeshua Posen, when is inheritance not to Yerusha?
We've discussed before a number of times over the years different halachas regarding Yerusha. I want to talk about this morning a particular situation. But before we get there, let's do a little bit of chazorah of some basics. From a legal perspective, if a person is nifta, a person passes away intestate without writing a tzavor, without writing a will, then the law of the land has certain laws which apply as to who the beneficiaries are of the estate. Whether it splits between the wife, if the wife is alive, if a man is nifta and the wife is alive, so the wife will get a portion of the estate. Their children, sons and daughters, they'll get split equally between them. And we know from a Torah point of view, if a person is nifta without writing a tzavor, whether halachic tzavor, whether a legal will, then the Torah says who is next in line to inherit. And very briefly, because I don't want to get stuck in this, but very briefly, the Seder Hadvarim of Yerusha, from a Torah point of view, is if a parent is nifta, if a wife is nifta, then a husband inherits a wife in what's called muhsik, what's called assets that she had at the time that she was nifta. What isn't called muhsik, maybe we'll see if we have time for later on in the shir. If a wife loses her husband, then she does not inherit her husband minatera. She is entitled, according to the terms of the ksuba, which a woman receives when she gets married, to be supported, to receive mazonos, to live in the marital home. She's entitled to be looked after, but she is not, by rights, the yerush, the person who inherits the husband. If both parents are nifta, or either parent is nifta, the halacha is that once, let's say, a father's nifta, then a mother's nifta, the halacha is that the children, I mean, I tell you, only the sons, Yarshan, the daughters don't inherit anything. If they're daughters who are not yet married, then there's certain rights that they have as far as marrying them off from the estate, etc. But only the sons, Yarshan. And even within the sons, the Bechor, if there is a firstborn son, that means if the oldest child is a girl, then there's no Din Bechor. If a child born through a cesarean, it also doesn't have a Din Bechor. But if the oldest child is a Bechor, if the oldest son is the firstborn, then he's a Bechor and he's entitled to Pishnayim, which means he gets an extra portion equivalent to any other son. So if there are four sons, then they'll divide the estate into five, and he'll get two portions, and the other three sons will receive one portion each. But there again, the Bechor only gets Pishnayim on what's called Muchzik, what's called in the estate, part of the estate at the time of the Petira. So for example, just to show you how modern day situations, we take a lot for granted in the world that we live in. There's a big dispute in the Poskim whether money in a bank account, is money in a bank account considered mufsuk, or is money in a bank account considered roi? Because the Gemara, when it discusses what's called roi, the standard, the classic scenario in the Gemara of roi is when money is inherited. When money is inherited or a choiv. So for example, if a father is nifta and he is owed money by somebody else, he's got a debt. So the money which he is owed is not cash in hand. It's not money which he actually has physically at the time when he's nifta. It's debt which is owing to him. And therefore the Torah considers that to be roi. It's something which is roi. It's going to come to him, hopefully, if the debt is paid. But it's not something that's considered part of his estate at the time of his petir. And therefore the Bechor does not get pishnaim on roi. What's a big debate is how to classify bank accounts. Bank accounts, on the one hand, one thing we've learned over the last few years, is that when a person has money in the bank, he doesn't actually have a wad of notes sitting in a box waiting for him to come and pick it up. What he's done effectively is he's lent money to the bank, and when he wants to draw down that money, then he gets back that money. So money in the bank is effectively a debt. If that's the case, then although one might say it's more secure, although one might not say that anymore, but it's more secure than an average debt. And maybe even the government guarantees it, and that therefore makes it even more secure. But in the end of the day, it's a secure debt. Let's call it a secure debt. Even as a secure debt, many, many places are of the opinion that that's called roi. And the Bechor will not get pishnaim from that money. So Therefore, the title of this shiur is, when is an inheritance not a Yerusha? What I mean by that is, if for example, a person's nifta intestate, and therefore the courts decide to divide up their estate between the wife, and between the sons, and between the daughters, they've inherited, but they haven't got a Yerusha. When I tell you, the daughters, for example, if there was no will at all, are not entitled to anything. Let's say they're all married, not entitled to anything. I'll throw in one line here, please don't ask me to elaborate, because that itself is a whole separate shiur. There is a debate in the poskim whether if in such a scenario where the court awards the estate to the sons and daughters, let's say there's no surviving parents, the court awards the estate split equally between the sons and daughters. Min ha-Torah, the money belongs entirely to the sons. So min ha-Torah, the daughters, if they keep this money, it's mamash geneva. Let's just be clear on that. It's not that there's two options. There's a legal perspective, there's a halakhic perspective. The Torah says if the daughters keep that money, it's geneva. However, often what happens is, in order for the sons to obtain that money, they need the daughters to sign off on their estate that they can get it. And there's a debate in the poskim whether the daughters have a right to charge their signature. It's called Dmei Chasima. That's a whole separate issue. Why they should have a right? Do they have a right? Do they not have a right? That's a separate issue itself. I'm only mentioning in case anyone hears it or hears it later and then thinks, you know, that was overlooked. On that there is a question, but in rights, they don't have a right to the money. So there you have a situation where inheritance is not a Yerusha. I want to speak about a different situation. I want to speak about a situation where Rahman al-Islam, the last surviving parent, is killed in a car crash. The last surviving parent is killed in a car crash. And the driver of the offending vehicle's insurance pays however much it is that the court awards, or however much is decided that they need to pay. They pay the surviving relatives of the deceased, of the nifta, a sum of money. Now, there are two particular shailas that came up. First of all, they pay who they call the surviving family. So it's there's no wives, it's the sons and daughters. They give it equally between the sons and daughters. Are the daughters mechuyev to hand this money over to their brothers? Or is there tzar to say that they're entitled to keep it? That's shaila number one. Shaila number two. That's what we have to see. Shaila number two is if let's say it was a father who was killed in the crash, and the father was killed in the crash. The father had creditors, and his estate they've already taken whatever they could get from his estate, and now they want to come off after this money as well. Do they have a right to claim from this money? Right. So David will hold Avad Anisht. Right. Ah, no, it's not so clear. But the question is, you understand the question. If there's an estate, so the creditors will come after the estate. Here's money which has now been paid to the estate, so to speak, right? From the legal point of view, the court might say you pay it to the estate. Do the creditors have a right to come after this money?
So the family comes to the estate.
Okay, so let's see. And we'll see from here the end some other shailas. This case, I've definitely picked a case which is a bit clearer and simpler. We'll see other cases where all of a sudden the lines become a little bit more blurred. Oh, so you're already touching on the more blur policy. Let's see. So the starting point for this, really, you know, you hear such a shaila, you think that there's probably no such precedence for this in halakha. In fact, it's actually a posuk. So the Gemara in Baba Kama, Taf Membeis and Membeis, discusses the halachas of kofa. The halacha of kofa is if a person owns an ox, and that ox gets upgraded to be a shalmud, and the ox goes and he kills somebody else. So the halacha is that the ox is chayv misa, and really the owner of the ox should also be chayv misa. As we say in posuk, but the Torah has a, so to speak, a savior card that if you want, the owner of the ox can pay kofa, which literally is redemption. He's redeeming himself. He can pay kofa, and by paying kofa, he'll get off scot free, so to speak. The pasuk in Shemos Kof Aleph. It tells us, "Vim shor nagachu mitzvah shulshon v'hu abebalov v'lo yishmenu v'heimis isha isha." So if this shor, which is ready, the owner has been warned, and now it goes to kill a man or a woman, hashor yisokel v'gam balov yimos. The shor gets killed, and really the owner should also get killed. But im koyfu yushas olov v'nosin pidyon nafshei k'chol asher yushas olov. So he has this option of paying koyfu, so to speak, to buy his freedom. Says the Gemara, "Tana bonon v'heimis isha isha." Amar Rabbi Akiva, "Chimad bo zel lamdenu." Why do we need a pasuk to tell us if the shor goes and kills a man or a woman? What's nafka mina? Why should we think that a woman is any different? Just right, if a shor kills a person. Im lechayv ala ishto ki ish, if it's to tell us that the same chiyuv applies when a person kills, when an ox kills a woman, like when he kills a man, harikva nema ki yigach shor, es ish, es isho, we already know that from another pasuk. Elo, lehakish isha le ish, says the Gemara, says the pasuk, there's a limit here to contrast isha to ish, ma ish, nezokav li yershov, af isha nizkeh li yersheho. Just like we know that in a case where a person's mazik in ish, he's chayim to pay the damages to the yershim of that ish. Similarly to here, a person damages an isha, he's chayim to pay the damages to the yershim of the isha. Meaning, explain all the shonim, to the children, if this woman has children, to her children. If she doesn't have children, to her, back up to her father and her brothers, but not to her husband. Right, so you have a married woman, she's met a chonet son killed by a shor, there's a chiyuv kofa to be paid, says the Gemara, we learn from a pasuk, the chiyuv kofa is to be paid, to her yorishim, but not to her husband. Says the Gemara, "Hasavar Rabbi Akiva lo yoris labal." Does Rabbi Akiva hold that a husband doesn't inherit a wife? I have a son, we learn in a brayso of a yorish oiso mikan shabal yorishes ishto. She in a brayso of a yorish oiso, we learn from that a bal does inherit his wife. Just agav from Pashas Agamor, it's mashma that bal inherits his wife in that tayor. So in fact, there's a machlekes rishonim whether or not yorishes a bal is the brayso drabonim. The Rebbe Kiva, so you see, Rebbe Kiva holds her husband inherits a wife. So if her husband inherits a wife, why isn't the kofa paid to the baal? Amar Rish Lakish loy oma elo b'kofa hoyel ve'em mishtalem ele lachamisa. Says Rish Lakish, no, we only say this by kofa because kofa is only paid after the patira of the wife. V'havale roi, and therefore it's classified as roi, ve'en habal noitel b'roi k'b'muchsik. And a husband doesn't get in roi like he does in muchsik. Right? So the Gemara is saying like this. Really a Baal is a Yerush. Really a Baal doesn't inherit his wife. This is called Roy. Why is it called Roy? By definition, it will never be paid when the wife is alive. So therefore, it's not considered an asset she ever had in her lifetime. So therefore, it's called Roy. And since it's called Roy, a Baal doesn't get it. Just by the way, Pashas HaGemara, it is a Yerusha. Pashas HaGemara, this money is being paid B'teras Yerusha to the Yerushim. It goes to the Yerushim B'teras Yerusha. But we're saying the Baal doesn't get it because it's Roy. Because if we held that this wasn't to Yerusha at all, then you don't have to come on to Roy. Just say, yes, a Baal, Yerushim's when it's Yerusha. This is not Yerusha. Pashas, this is Yerusha. Comes on Tosus, and Tosus asks the Kasha. Tosus says, we already have another posuk elsewhere that tells us this halacha, that a Baal only inherits what's called Muchsuk, he doesn't inherit what's called Roy. So why do we need to have the posuk over here? Says Tosus, we need both psukim. We need both psukim. Why? Says Tosfos, if we would just have the posuk elsewhere that tells us in a normal situation our husband inherits his wife only muchzik and not roi, you'd think that stuff you're talking about a scenario where something comes along, achamisa, debt is paid, achamemes, whatever it might be. Listen to this. Says Tosfos, over here, why is the money paid? I'm adding a little bit of color to Tosfos. Why is the money paid? The money is paid because of a Maisa Hezek which was done to her in her lifetime. Right? It happened to be that when the Shor gored this woman, unless it's mamish instant death, if there's such a thing, even in many milliseconds, there's a Maisa Hezek which happens to this woman which then results in her patira. But the Maisa Hezek happens to her when she's alive. The ox gores her when she's alive and it kills her. So
if she survives, she wouldn't get it.
Of course. So it's a Maisa Hezek, which is done in the lifetime, which you'll only be chayev if it results in patira. That's not a problem. You can have a Maisa Hezek that happens the whole time, right? If a person does a Maisa Hezek, if I cut your tree, and we're not sure if the tree is going to die, so we'll watch it and wait and see, and if eventually it dies from me cutting it, then I'm chayev to pay for cutting down the tree. What's the sibah sachiv for my action? My action happened when the tree was alive. But we don't know the ramifications of my action. If my action results in the tree dying, so it's a Maisa Hezek which causes a patir. So here, says Tosus, the Maisa Hezek happened to her when she was alive. So really, you're chayv to pay her when she's alive. We just don't know if it's going to kill her. If it's going to kill her, then you're chayv. If it doesn't, you're not. So there's a tzad to say that even though normally elsewhere we say that a Baal doesn't inherit Roy, this is not your run-of-the-mill Roy, because the reason why you're chayv to pay it is because of something you did to the wife in her lifetime. That's the first Nekudah of Tosis. Second Nekudah of Tosis is, if we would have only had Roy over here, in this scenario by Kofa, says Tosis, we wouldn't have been able to learn anywhere else. Because we would have said the opposite. Kofa will only ever be paid after she's nifta. Right? Masha'in kein a debt could be paid in her lifetime, could not be paid. Happened to be, it turns out it wasn't paid when she was alive, but it could have just as easily been paid when she was alive. So therefore you can't learn out from there. Ad kam Tosis. Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Nun Aleph, on the Mitzvah of Kofa, has a different teretz completely to Tosis. Minchas Chinuch learns, not RP what we said, it's Poshup Shal Nigamora. Says the Minchas Chinuch, like you wanted to say, Kofa has got nothing to do with Yerusha. Because by definition, it's something you only have to pay after the ox has killed the woman. So how can that be called part of the woman's estate if it was something she could never have owned in her lifetime? Shaitan Posit, you're paying the Yerushim. Shaitan, you're paying the Yerushim. Says Minchas Chinuch, you know what that means? There's an address. It's a knas. Kofa's a knas. We have to have an address where you pay this knas. Says the Torah, you know what the address is? The Yerushim. But not Midin Yerusha. It was never part of the estate. It's not paid Materas Yerusha. The address is the Yerushim. Memela, says Minchas Chinuch, that's the answer to Tosis is Kasha. Tosis asked a Kasha that if we have a posuk elsewhere, which tells us that a husband doesn't inherit what's called Roy, so why do you have to have a posuk here to tell us that he doesn't get it? It's posha, it's called Roy. Says Minchas Chinuch, no, because here we're not paying it to him within his rights as a Yerush. We're paying it to him because we have an address where we pay this money. Who's the address? The Yerush. Normally the husband is a Yerush. He's not a Yerush of what's called Roy, but he's the Yerush. He's the first person, so to speak, to inherit when his wife was Nifta. Whatever is classified as Roy, he won't get. And then that will go to the next Yerushim. But the first port of call will be the husband. So says Minchas Chinuch, we might have thought that since here we're not giving it over B'teras Yerusha, we're not paying it as an inheritance, we're paying it because we need an address. It's Lahavdil Elef Avdolos. It's like, for example, you have in America these lawsuits where they hit big tobacco, whatever it is. They have to penalize someone with a major knas. So they give the knas, and who they give the knas to? Whoever the defendant happens to be, but not because they've really got a right to that money, it's because they want to teach a lesson. So they need to find an address where you're meant to pay this money. So here says, Minchas Chinuch Lahavdil, that's the same thing. Really, the Kofa is not going to the Yerushim Be'etzim because the Yerushim did Medina Yerusha. It's going to the Yerushim because we have to have an address, and therefore you might have to have a minna. That who will the address be? The address will be the Baal, even though the Baal doesn't get what's called Roy. Comes along the Possum and says, no, the Baal doesn't get it, it goes to her Yerushim. And similarly too, if we would only have had the Possum here, then we definitely wouldn't have known that a Baal doesn't inherit Roy. Because this has nothing to do with Hilchos Yerusha. Here you have a Gzeres HaKosa telling us, who is the address that you pay this money to? No, it's not the husband, it's her Yerushim. Fine, but that doesn't tell you in a normal case of Yerusha, where Yerusha does get passed down the Torah's Yerusha, that the husband doesn't get it. And therefore, answers Minchas Chinuch, that's why we need the Pasuk by both. Says the Minchas Chinuch, if that's the case, then what happens if they're creditors? What happens if they're creditors of the wife? The wife owes money, and after she's nifta, the money gets paid to her Yerushim, which is, let's say she's got sons, it gets paid to her sons. So the creditors come along, and they want this money. Now, just agav, there's a big machlokes whether creditors, whether Bali Chovas have a right to claim Roy in any case. That's a separate issue. But Tachonos Chazal, the Fidashit is asking now, the Fidashit is that creditors have a right to come after Roy. Well, let's just put that into real terms. That means, for example, if Yaakov owes money, right? Yaakov has debts, and he's nifta, and his estate, has nothing left in his estate to pay off his debts. But someone owes him a fortune of money, and someone then pays that money to the estate. There's a nidden, that's called Roy. That's what we've established. That's called Roy, a debt which is owed to an estate, but not in the estate at the time of Petira. It's called Roy. There's a shaila in Halacha whether the creditors have a right to that money. Right? Now we're going now with the Shitta, the Mahalach, it's a Tzakona, that they do. They do have a right to that money. So therefore here, this woman owed money, and she was Nifta, and Kofa was paid now to her Yerushim, to her sons. All of a sudden, her creditors come along and say, listen, in her estate, there was nothing. But here, Kofa's been paid. We want to take this Kofa. Do they have a right to take this Kofa? Says the Minchas Chinuch, the way he's learning, no. Why? Because it was never part of her estate. It's not her money at all. It's money which the Torah makes a gezeirah that the mazik is chayav to pay in order to redeem himself. And who's the address? Happens to be the Yerushim. It could just as well have been that the Torah would have made the gezeirah sakosim that you're meant to pay this money to the Aniye Ho'i. Whatever. It happens to be the address is the Yerushim. And maybe the Bali Chogos won't have a right to this money. As they pass in the Minchas Chinuch. Now those with Shoinim and Achoinim in the Sugi who don't learn at the Minchas Chinuch, who learn that Kofa is B'teres Yerusha. Pashas the Gemara, Pashas the Lashon Gemara fits in much better than Kofa's B'teres Yerusha. The Gemara answers, the Baal won't get it because it's Roy and the Baal doesn't get Roy. Right? Pashas the Gemara is saying it's Yerusha by its Roy. How do you answer according to those Mahalchim? Pashas, you have to say that the Torah in its Gezeiras HaKosov is saying that you have to pay the Nifta and it goes into the Yerusha. That's part of the Gezeiras HaKosov.
It's not for the Nifta. Christ, it's not for the Nifta, it never belongs to them.
Right, but that's part of the Gezeiras HaKosov. You have to pay them, they're not alive, so therefore you'll pay the Yerusha. But within Yerusha. Hold on a second. If you have Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Reuven, right? You have a Zeta, a son and a grandson. And Yitzchak is Nifta before Yaakov. Sorry, Yitzchak, that would be fine. Yitzchak is Nifta before, I've changed the name. Yaakov is Nifta before Yitzchak. Okay. Yaakov is Nifta before Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak is Nifta. So Reuven will inherit his Zeta. Right? Now, this particular example, there's a nidden whether it goes like from a Zeta to a son. But one mahalak is that it goes bekever it goes to Yaakov, so to speak, he inherits in the grave, literally, and then passes on to whoever his Yerushim are. So there is a concept in Halacha of a person who's already Nifta, inheriting money, and it getting passed on.
Because it was his, it was a kind of...
It wasn't his, Yerusha wasn't his.
He had the right of Yerusha, even the Koifer wasn't his.
It wasn't his. If Yitzchak would have wanted, he could have spent all the money in Mechaima, and Yaakov wouldn't have got a penny in the kever. He had no schus into that money.
Yerusha left.
Right, so one could learn that the Gzeres HaKosov here is, that the kever, the Nizik, the person who was killed, Yerushim is this money, and it goes to the Yerushim. That's the Gzeres HaKosov. We wouldn't have said that ourselves. But you could learn, it's Gzeres HaKosov.
Surely as long as the money is there, he has granted that discuss in that money.
Pardon?
As long as the money is there, he has discuss in that money. Which? If you spend his meal, as long as it's there, it's his future Yerusha, as long as it's there.
Future Yerusha.
It's not to spend it, but as long as he doesn't spend it, he has discuss.
You're showing him to say that was Avraham Avinu's time on Lotz, right? But his Roim thought that this is our land, it's not your land, it's not Avraham Avinu's land. It will become part of Yerusha. If it will, there, Fakir, it was a Haftocha, right? But here, it's not yours. You've got no discourse into it. If, when the person's after, then there's Yerusha there, you'll get it. You've got no rights, Mechaim. Sometimes you have to see sons who think that they have a right to redeem Mechaim to their parents' money. That causes other issues. Hakaponim, moving on. So the Minchas Yitzchak speaks about a case, Minchas Yitzchak in Chelik Zayin, Simon Kuf Lamed Zayin, speaks about a case where a worker was killed on his way to work, and the company paid up money. The company paid that money, and they paid the money to the surviving almona and to the two children, the two sons who were still at home being looked after by her. But they didn't pay it to the other sons, the two other sons who were married. So you got four bonim, minateria, four yorishim, and they paid it to the almona and to the two sons who were at home, the family that needed looking after who were financially losing out by not having a father at home. And they didn't pay it to the two married sons. So the Minchas Yitzchak, based on this Minchas Chinuch, okay, one can argue whether by Kofa that's the halacha, that's a nidden in the sugya of Kofa. But in principle, when we're not dealing with Gzeres HaKosov, here, if a company pay up money for such a thing, it's got nothing to do with Gzeres HaKosov. Why are they paying? They're not paying the nifta, the father here, had no zchusim to this money, mechaim, so to speak. Therefore, it's poshut, it was never his money. Since it was never his money and they're paying, whoever they pay it to, that's who gets it. There's no din Yerusha at all. So therefore, similarly too, if there would be sons and daughters, it's between sons and daughters. It's got nothing to do with Teres Yerusha. So just at this point, to come back to our Shaila, if a person was never killed in a car crash, and money was paid to the next of kin, or the family of surviving relatives, whoever it might be, It's not being paid, but Teres Yusha. Koifa might have a special Zezakos, so that would be a machlekes, as we saw in the Chaschinuch and others, exactly whether there, the Chaschinuch says, even by Koifa, there's no din Yusha. By here, where the money's being paid, it's got nothing to do with Hilchas Yusha. Since it's got nothing to do with Hilchas Yusha, so if it's paid, here you'll have an inheritance, which is not a Yusha, but they can keep it. Because it's not, there's no Teres Yusha, because there is no Yusha on this money. And therefore they can keep it. And similarly, if Bali Chovas came along and said, oh, all of a sudden there's a big payout. You know, your father owed us a lot of money. We didn't want to come to you because we know that he didn't leave anything behind. But now that we see, you know, you got paid millions in an insurance claim or whatever it is, you know, what happens to thousands that he owes us? We want that money. As Michal Sinner points out, this is not the Teres Yusha. This has got nothing to do with Teres Yusha. And therefore here, they won't have a right to that money. That is, so to speak, relatively simple. In the 4 remaining minutes, I'll show you a few different scenarios where I don't want to paskin, because I want to leave it open for the simple reason that it will really, really be toilet on every single scenario. Because there are so many different permutations and combinations of how it's done and how it's structured, etc., that it can really change the halacha. So I don't want to give it over in a way that even if I really, really streamline and explain clearly the situation, punkt someone in Madame Muslim Milster, so I'll just be more aware of the areas where one needs to bear in mind there might be a hidden. First area is life insurance. Life insurance, now there are different types of life insurance, so I have no intention to go through all of them, but one type of life insurance is a policy which only gets paid achamev esim. A policy which will only get paid when a person's nifta. What happens in a case where, now I'll give you the simpler shayla, what happens in a case where there's a life insurance policy on a wife, and the husband might even be the one who pays that policy? And then she's nifta. Now, normally on policies, you're meant to name who the beneficiary is. Right? Let's not talk for a moment about if the person's named. Nobody's named. Nobody's named on the policy. Achameva Esen, she's nifta, and the life insurance policy is paid. Who gets this policy? Does it go to the husband, or does it go to the sons? Now here, Roy, Zicha is Roy. Right? Zicha no better than a Chayv. At best, it's a Chayv. Right? It's not money which you have in your hands at the time. At best, it's a chayv which is going to get paid achamev esim. A chayv is going to get paid achamev esim. You don't have a right to the Baal won't get. Baal won't yashin.
How do you put it? It's not a chayv. It's not a pure chayv. It's actually an investment. It's putting in to get out.
A chayv you're also putting to get out. You put money in the bank to get out. That's a chayv. Right? The point is, at the time of patsira, the cash is not in the house. No better than the chayv. Zicha no better than the chayv. As far as Roy is concerned. Right? But the shayla is here whether it's worse. The shayla is here whether it has similarities to kofa. A person pays money to someone else and says, listen, you pay money to a third place. That the nifta doesn't have that money. Again, it'll depend on what types of policies which can be sold and resold, etc., etc., etc. But the zicha tzar to say that it's not money which was ever owned mechayim, so to speak. And therefore, there's no Teres Yusha at all. Shaila number one. Shaila number two, and here it really gets complicated, but shaila number two is what happens in a case when a person buys bonds. There's a shaila in English Moshe, when a person buys bonds, and he had to put two names on the bonds. So he put his name on the bond, and he also put the name of one of his sons. He had to put a second name, he put the name of one of his sons. And he was nifta, the son comes along, he wants to take the whole entire amount of money. The Yerushim, the rest of the Yerushim, the wife, everyone turns around and said, no, he just put you down as a name. He didn't mean you as Taka to be the beneficiary. He had to write another name. He wrote it to you. He thought it's posh. You're going to split it between the other children. You have a number of different shilas that work along these this situation, whether it's properties put in different names, whether it's different trustees and different directors, etc., etc. And a lot of them, the shaila arises as to who is Taka intended to be the bailim originally. What was really the kavana originally when it was done? Was it structured in such a way that the kavana was your Taka being makne to the person, in which case you have to know api aloha, how does it work? Is there a mitzvah kaim divames at all or not? But the first thing one has to know in all those situations is what was Taka the kavana at the time? Unfortunately, most of the time, no one has a clue. Because nothing is documented properly. It was all done, you know, without any real machshava at the time. You have to put a name. You put a name. And afterwards, it's mamash lifnei eved, because there's the potential for people to be able to be eved. I'll finish it. I think I've told this once before. There was a person who was nifta in London a number of years ago. And after the Shiva, the children has a buzz at the bell, and they went to the front door, and someone said, you know this property of your father's, which I'm in, and I'm a tenant, I'm not really a tenant, it's my property. Your father bought it in his name, the mortgage in his name, but it's my property. Three other people over the next few days with the same timer. So what are the Yoshim going to do now? They can either give out properties to everyone who comes to the door, right? Or they can be like, I'm Geneva.
He has to prove it.
Yeah. You're right. If they don't prove it, they won't give it, but it could be Geneva. So the father, as we marshal his children, that's a Raya Shaila. That's a Shaila and Raya. You're right. If they can't prove it, they won't get it. But if it's really theirs, it's Geneva, right? It's a Metzias. So it's a Geneva. So the father has been Oivon Lifnei Eved by putting his children in a situation where they don't really know what's going on with his estate. Nachem Eved, they've got these difficult decisions to make. Shkoyach.